ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 विष्णु सहस्रनाम Name 623, Shatananda. Shat means 100. And Ananda means, you don't need to translate that, do you? Not from Sanskrit to Tamil. Anandam. It means happiness, bliss, ecstasy. There are various words in English. In Sanskrit also there's prasannata also means happiness. There are different words. So Krishna's very happy. That's the point. There are several names in Vishnu Sahasranama. Ananda is already there. Well, we all want to be happy, don't we? Anyone wants to be unhappy? No one wants to be unhappy. Everyone wants to be happy. Our nature is to be happy. We're all part and parcel of Krishna is happy. We like to be happy and we like happy people, don't we? We like to be with happy people. By associating with happy people, we become happy. Well, there's no one more happy than Krishna. Shatananda, 100. 100, the word 100 is often used in Sanskrit to indicate many or just lots. So he's very happy, and in various ways he's happy. His bliss is unlimited, and his manners of enjoying are unlimited also. He enjoys everything possible to enjoy, he enjoys. One reason that he's so happy is because he has so many devotees, and they're all dedicated to being happy, to nurturing his happiness. They're all serving him, and he takes happiness in their love for him. He enjoys in various ways. He enjoys dancing. Krishna likes to dance. He likes singing. He enjoys fighting. That gives him pleasure also. He enjoys being a coward. Yeah. How about that? What pleasure is there in that? Apparently a coward as he runs away from the battle. That's something unusual. He takes many forms to enjoy in many ways. If we want to enjoy, we can only enjoy certain things at certain times, but Krishna's present everywhere in all places, and he can enjoy all kinds of things all at once. And there are certain things you can enjoy in certain ways. You can enjoy being a respectable person, that's one kind of enjoyment. But you can't enjoy being the respectable person doesn't have the enjoyment of the person who doesn't follow rules and regulations and who just does whatever he likes. Now, in the material world, it's better to be respectable. Respectable means you lead a very pious life and you don't break the rule, you don't break the laws, and you fulfill all your duties. And then maybe someone who takes pleasure in just being wild. So in the material world, especially, to be wild is very bad, and to break all the rules. But for Krishna, he can break all the rules because he makes all the rules. He enjoys the role of being very respectable as Rama. And as Krishna, he shows he can break all the rules also. But he enjoys that. Not specifically breaking the rules, but just showing that he's above all considerations of dharma that we have to follow. Of course, Krishna, when he's living with Rukmini in Dwarka, he also lives a very responsible life of a Vedic householder. But sometimes people will criticize him. Shishupal said to him, "You see, you can't even know who he is. He started off as a Vaishya, and now says he's a Kshatriya. In Vedic society, that's something very strange. You have a fixed identity. But that in one way is praising Krishna, because you can't put him in a box and say, this is Krishna, we've fully understood him. He takes various roles as he likes. He has many devotees who all give him many pleasure. In Vrindavan, the mothers of the cowherd boys, they all love Krishna more than their own sons. And the cows, they all love Krishna. But after all, Krishna was the son of Mother Yashoda, so the cowherd women, they all wanted to feed him and pet him and bathe him, but they couldn't because he's the son of Mother Yashoda. So by the arrangement of Brahma kidnapping all the cowherd boys and all the calves, Krishna took those forms, and all the elderly gopis, they enjoyed having Krishna as their son, although they didn't directly realize it. And all the cows, they had the pleasure of Krishna in the form of their calves, drinking their milk. So Krishna, in this way, he gave pleasure to all his devotees, and he becomes more happy when his devotees are happy. And he was happy to be directly served by all these devotees. And of course, Krishna likes to drink milk. So as the calves, he was drinking milk from so many different cows, and then the different mothers would all prepare butter. He's also very fond of butter. We all know that, right? Everyone knows Krishna's very fond of butter. So he would enjoy in the homes of all the mothers. So the main thing is, what is Krishna's pleasure? He enjoys in so many ways. He enjoys... Here's one kind of enjoyment. You have an itch and you scratch it. That's one kind of enjoyment, isn't it? Of course, if we do that, we get all... It becomes bloody and infected and all these things. But it is one kind of pleasure. Krishna also takes that kind of pleasure. He takes the form of Kurnadev. And with the Meru mountain on his back, it gives him... He has scratching of his back. So when God has this itchy back, he has a mountain to scratch it. After all, he is God. So he enjoys in so many different ways, all enjoyments. He also sees, oh, my devotees are enjoying being my devotee. I'll become a devotee too. And he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enjoy and take pleasure and be happy in participating in enjoyment. So this is very different to the impersonalists, who they just want to make their enjoyment all one. Om, and just all one. But why one? Why not many? Why not many? Because in the material world, the endeavor to enjoy simply results in distress. Whatever way we try, it simply results in distress. But for Krishna, it's all bliss, and his devotees, they enjoy also with Krishna the varieties of this material world. In this material world, people are trying to be happy. Everyone's trying to be happy in so many ways. And we see people who we think should be happy. They've got everything that they should have for happiness. They may be very rich and very beautiful and very famous, but then they're not actually happy. The beautiful woman she's always in anxiety that she's going to lose her beauty, she's going to get older, and definitely she will in due course of time. And then she becomes envious of other beauties. There's a whole world of whole mini universe of the beautiful women in the movies, and they're all envious of each other. There's no such thing with Krishna. Not only is he beautiful, he's the most beautiful. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. He's so beautiful that even the so many cupids, they're attracted to him. And all the great beauties are also attracted to him. Rama was so qualified that Sita, who is so beautiful, she was attracted to him, not to anyone else. Ravana couldn't understand. He thought that, see, I'm so qualified, so powerful. Surely Sita will be attracted to me. And Sita, she couldn't even, it didn't even slightly enter her thoughts that she could be attracted to anyone except Rama. Similarly, Shishupal, he was betrothed to Rukmini. Not only betrothed, but the whole wedding was arranged, and everyone came to Kundina. The king, the capital of Bhishmak, the father of Rukmini. So they all came for the wedding, and Krishna turned up and took her away. Rukmini wasn't in the slightest bit interested in marrying Shishupa. For them it was very insulting, because they thought, you know, I'm so qualified and so powerful, and both for Ravana and for Shishupa, very depressing and very insulting to them, because they thought they were so great. But Krishna, Sita and Rukmini, they weren't interested in anyone else. They're interested in Krishna. So Krishna, not only is he beautiful, but all the great beauties and all the most qualified women are interested in him. It's a great blow to the prestige of Ravana that, and to Shishupal, that the person who they take as their great enemy, the woman who they want, goes to them, to the enemy, not to themselves. So they become frustrated. Their idea, Ishvaroham Mahambhogi, Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi, I am the controller, I am Ishvaroham, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, powerful and happy. And the beautiful woman looks at them and says, forget it, I'm going to Krishna, I'm not interested in you, and their whole prestige is completely deflated. So in this way, Krishna teaches that if in this material world we try to directly enjoy beautiful women, then we'll be frustrated. We can't take pleasure in that, because we are the subservient happy. He is the supreme happy. So we have to serve Sita Ram, Radha, Krishna. Then we can partake in Krishna's happiness. If we try to imitate him, then we'll simply be frustrated, as Ravana was frustrated, as Shishupal was frustrated, as everyone in the material world who's ever tried to be happy without Krishna is frustrated. So a very simple thing. We're listening, or we're going through this Vishnu Sahasranama, just hearing about the qualities of Krishna, so that we can be attracted to Krishna. Our natural attraction to Krishna will be reawakened. Everyone has a natural relationship with Krishna. Some know it, some don't know it, some partially know it. They believe in God, but they don't have a very clear understanding of who God is. Who God is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we really want to know God and come close to God, then we have to go through Srimad Bhagavatam. And they say, well, why are we going through Vishnu Sahasranama? Everything's there in Bhagavatam. That's true. But the topics that we're discussing in Vishnu Sahasranama, they're all the same topics as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's just, as Srila Prabhupada said, we should try to understand these topics from different angles. So here's one angle. this Vishnu Sahasranama. That different names of Krishna, and we can see all the qualities that are expressed in these different names, as described in Bhagavatam, and Vishnu Purana, Ramayana, and different scriptures. The summation is all there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, as we know more and more about him, of course, it's not exactly like knowing, studying for a university degree, but knowing means we hear about, we appreciate, we become more and more attracted to Krishna, and we can develop our relationship of loving service to him. And then he who has got infinite bliss, he becomes even more happy. That's one. He takes happiness in every living being. That every living being who offers their love and their service to him, he appreciates that. That is, so his happiness increases infinitely. We cannot have intimate relationships with more than a few people because we're very limited. But Krishna has loving relationships with so many, and in so many different ways, and different living beings, they all have a different kind of happiness. The dog has the kind of happiness and barking that makes them happy. The fish has some happiness, swimming in the water. The rishis, they have happiness in doing penance and austerity. Actually, Krishna, he takes the form of a fish also. He takes the form of a rishi also, Narayan Rishi. So he experiences all these different kinds of pleasure. But whatever pleasure anyone experiences is all simply a sample or a fraction of the pleasure that Krishna has. It's just like the sun is the source of all light. So Krishna is the source of all bliss. If we try to take light by any other means, it will only be partial. If we stand in the sunlight, then we're in the full light. So if we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, it's like trying to be in the light but not being in the sunlight. We won't get the full light. Teshamadidyavajjnanam prakashyati tatparam. Ganena tutaragyanam yesham nashramatmanaha. Tesham adityavajjnanam prakashyati tatparam. That example is given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. That to get this spiritual knowledge, it destroys the ignorance of not knowing it. And it's just like the sun. In our hearts, if the sun of spiritual knowledge arises, then everything becomes clear. Everything becomes clear. So in the same way, trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, we can get some little bits and pieces of happiness. But Krishna is full happiness. And whatever happiness there is to be enjoyed is to be just as we are little particles in the sun. We can be happy in that way. He's full happy, and we are little happy. And anyone in this world trying to be happy, well, everyone's trying to be happy, but we should know from Shastra that Krishna is the supreme happy, and to partake in his happiness. Yeah, different kinds of happiness. Even a plant has some kind of happiness. The plant growing toward the light is trying to get happiness. They get that happiness just from the sense of touch. The worms get pleasure from touch and taste. Then even more developed beings, maybe ants, they have touch, taste, and smell, and the bees, touch, taste, smell, and sight. The animals can also hear, and man has the pleasure of the mind. Yet Krishna is the master of all the senses, and through all his senses he enjoys fully in all respects. Shata, 100, means many, and Krishna particularly enjoys with his devotees, especially the gopis. And in this regard, Baladev Vidyabhushan says that he enjoys 108 principal gopis, and many others also. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, in commenting on this name, he quotes from Sri Brahma Sanghita, Chintamani Prakara Sadna Sukalpa Vriksha Lakshavriteshu Surabhir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasrashata Samrama Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So there is a description of the Chintamani Dham, Krishna's abode, the spiritual world, which is everything there, all the houses, the walls, everything is made of wish-fulfilling stone. There are unlimited numbers of Surabhi cows who give unlimited amounts of milk. And there are Lakshmis, the gopis, who are Sahasrashata, who are all serving Krishna very affectionately. So we can say Shata, Sahasrashata, actually unlimited numbers of gopis serving Krishna. In this material world, there's an imitation of Krishna's rasa dance. You'll find in the Bollywood movies, there's an imitation of the rasa dance. But it's an imitation. Krishna, he has the real rasa dance. And anything else, it's a poor imitation. How much they have to arrange, and they have to select the actors and the actresses, and so much big arrangement, and they have to train them, and so many things. And even then, it's only a poor imitation. Whereas Krishna and the gopis, they simply dance. They don't go for years to some dancing school or any such thing. But they're simply enjoying that bliss. The gopis, every one of them is far more beautiful than any Bollywood actor. It's just, there's no comparison. They're so, and among them there's one in particular. Even though Krishna has millions of gopis to serve him, in this way, Shata Ananda, the highest pleasure he has is in reciprocating with his devotees. And among the devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given his verdict, Ramya ka chiddu pasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. The best way of worshipping Krishna is by the gopis of Vrindavan. So Krishna especially takes pleasure in the gopis. But among them all, one is particularly pleasing to Krishna. She's much more to Krishna than even all the other gopis, and even, dare we say it, than Rukmini or Sita. Now this is becoming very controversial, so I won't say more than this. There's one very nice song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in which he refers to the same word, Shata. 100, Shata Koti Gopi, he begins the song referring. Here we have in Brahma Sanghita, Lakshmi Sahasrashata, 1,000 times 100. And here we have Shata Koti, which means 100 times 10 million. So exactly how many, it's a big number. So he begins this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by referring to the Shata Koti Gopi. 1,000 million gopis. So I'll read the song. Shata Koti Gopi Madhavaman Rakite narelo karijatan. Thousand million gopi. Thousand million. That's a billion, isn't it? That's an American billion.
100 million.
Yeah, 100. It's 100 times koti is 10 million, so it's 1,000 million.
Yeah.
So it's 1 billion gopis. I believe a British billion is 1 million million, which becomes confusing, and an American billion is 1,000 million. So anyway, 1,000 million gopis. Madhava man rakitain. They couldn't capture his mind, even though they tried very hard. Bhenu Gita Dake Radhika Nam. By the song of his flute calls out the name of Radhika. That's the one. Esho Esho Radhe Dake Sham. So in this way, Sham, Krishna, by his flute is calling out, come, come, Radha. So Radha comes. And then she leaves. The ras dance is going on and Radha leaves. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this. Bhangiya Shri Rasa Mandala Bhangiya Shri Rasa Mandala Tabe Radharan Beshane Chalaye Jabe. So this is the proof that Radha is more important to Krishna than all the hundreds and millions and thousands of gopis, that she leaves the Rasa Mandal, the Ras Leela, and he leaves also to go and search for her. Dekha diya radhe rakaha pran baliya kande kanane kan. So kana, in Tamil you say kanan. Kanan. So kan, Krishna, wandering in the kanana, in the gardens and forests, is calling out, crying, show yourself to me, Radha, save my life. Nirjana kanane radhare dhari miliya paran jurai hari. Then in a lonely forest, he finds Radha and embraces her, and feels that he got back his life, and that his now he feels very satisfied and contented. This is Hari. Hari, he takes away everything, but he felt he'd lost everything. Now he got back his life by getting back Radha. And he says to her, Bole tuhu bina kaha ras. He says to her, without you, what is this Ras Leela? Tuhu lagi mo borojabash. I'm living in Vrindavan just for you, for your sake. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues the song. Eheno Radhika Charna Tale Bhakati Binoda Kandiya Bale. Bhaktivinoda, at the lotus feet. Of such a Radha, such a personality, this Radha. He, crying, he says, Tua gona majje, amare goni, kinkuri koriya rakho apani. Please count me among one of your gona, one of your people, one of your group. And make me your maidservant, your personal servant, and keep me with you personally. So, Krishna enjoys in so many ways, but the essence of his bliss is his association with Sri Radha. And Gaurya Vaishnavas, they serve Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna, Narottam Das Thakur. It says, Radha Krishna Pranamo Jugalakisho Jibane Morane Gati Arnahimo. So he says that Radha and Krishna, my very life, Jugal Kishore, the youthful couple, in life and death, I have no other goal but to serve them. So similarly, servants of Ram, Sitaram, they want to serve Sitaram, they want to see the, how they're happy together. So when we hear about Krishna's many, many ways of happiness, just coming to the essence is the Radha and Krishna. So many ways. And Radha, she serves Krishna in so many ways. By cooking, so many different preparations, by dancing. These are two main ways, cooking and dancing, and so many things. Then the next name, name 624, is Nandi, which has a very similar name. Generally when we think of Nandi, we think of the bull of Lord Shiva, but it's a name of Krishna. It's a very similar name. Yeah, Ananda, Nandi. So Nandi means one who has Ananda. So it means one who is ever happy. It's a very similar name. There's no harm to repeat or have similar names. Just remind us in various ways about the great qualities of the personality of Godhead. Why is he ever happy? Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnava commentator, says that he's always happy because he's always with Sri. In all this, he's always happy because he's always with her. She always gives him happiness in so many ways. Okay, so I'll finish that. Let us all be happy, remembering the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and our attempts to serve them here within this material world. Narottama Dasa koi nitya lila sukhamoy sadai swarup moramane. In one of his songs, Narottam Das Thakur, it begins Vrindavana Ramasthan. Vrindavan is a very happy place, enjoyable place. Dibya Chintamani Dham is divine abode of his wish fulfilling stones. And he finishes the song. It's a very happy song, describing the happiness of Radha and Krishna with their associates. And he finishes by saying that Narottam Dasa koi, Narottam Das says, Nitya Lila Sukhamoy, the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, are full of happiness. Shadai Svarup Moramani, may they ever be resplendent, manifest within my heart. Hare Krishna.